helping people, but from the inside out. Like, I'm not putting no outfits on you until we know that you are whole. Mm-hmm. Like, don't come to me broken with all these things and sending me pictures of, I want to look like this person, I want to look like that person. No, we're not doing that. What do you look like? Like, we need to work on that. Like,
you are listening to Soulful Convos with Josephine, a podcast that journeys through deep conversations, exploring healing, entrepreneurship, and the arts with creatives and heart-minded beings. Journey with me as I heal my traumas and visualize my highest self in pursuit of unapologetic love, peace, and joy, because we deserve it. We're here today because we are doing our podcast episodes, and I'm grateful that we're here with Joe, K-Vibe Studios. Thank you for having us and hosting us. So welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Soulful Convos with Josephine. I'm your host, Josephine. And I took a little bit of a hiatus from podcasting, and Shatanya, mm-hmm. Please let me know if I'm the only one, but I feel like we all need our holiday breaks and then some.
Yes, exactly. Because I took a hiatus as well. So this is me, my coming back party to my podcast, because I took a little break.
Yes. Oh, it my was goodness. Needed. Yes.
Definitely was needed. So thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for being here. And thank you for joining the episode. So I wanted to introduce you to the world and to our listeners. But I've met you through K-Vibe Studios at a networking event.
Yes.
And you've been such an amazing person to get to know. Aww. Very, very warm, beautiful personality. And it's been a pleasure getting to know you.
Aww, thank you.
And I feel like this is just the beginning of us flourishing as far as friendship goes. Yes. And getting to know each other and being able to support one another, especially in this way.
Exactly.
So please tell the listeners who you are and what do you do?
Who I am. I am Shatanya Ami. I am a celebrity wardrobe stylist. As sometimes I struggle with saying I am a celebrity wardrobe stylist because I'm transitioning to, you know, my true purpose, my calling. So it's like, it's still like kind of funny to call myself a stylist. I'm like, but yeah, I'm a celebrity wardrobe stylist. I've been styling for about over 15 years. I've been full-time. Wow. As a celebrity stylist. I started doing a bunch of different things, but styling has definitely been the thing that I've been doing most consistent. So I'm a celebrity wardrobe stylist, now transitioning into being a mindfulness meditation coach. I'm certified in a mindfulness-based stress relief meditation, and now I'm also going for my certification for yoga meditation. So that's who I am. That's what I do.
That's exciting. And as you were talking, I was listening to you say that you were feeling a little conflicted about, you know, incorporating the styling part.
Right.
But you know what? I feel like that's the journey.
It is. And it's funny because it's been a back and forth fight of me wanting to leave fashion, but I love fashion. Mm. And then of, especially like just me, my inner conflict. And then I go to outer sources and I'm like, well, let me go talk to this healer and let me go talk to this person and that person and see what they're getting from the universe. And the universe keeps telling them to tell me fashion. And I'm like, I'm trying to leave, but it keeps dragging me back. And I'm like, I want to go. But it's like, no. So like, it is an inner conflict, but I do know now that it has to work hand in hand.
Yes.
Because I feel like in order to beautify the outside, you have to beautify the inside first.
Yes.
So, you know, and now I know what the trick is now. Now I know why I've been put in this space and in this realm to get to talk to people that's in a high stress environment and a high stress space to help them to navigate and get into a better peaceful place. So it kind of works hand in hand.
Absolutely. It absolutely does. I mean, and being a singer-songwriter, and, you know, we as artists, we can get into our own head.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's really a lot of, like, psychological. Mm-hmm. Do you believe in yourself? Yeah. And what experiences did you have that perhaps maybe traumatized you that prevent you from showing up fully as your artistic self?
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing, and especially in this, and as being a creative and... you're always under the microscope. And it's not only your own judgments and stuff that's in your head, because we're our worst critics. Right. It's the outs. You're basically putting yourself out there for people to nitpick and, you know, make their own assumptions and critiques about your, you know, your talent. So it's a very, very vulnerable space to be in when you're everything you do is a display, like, okay, so what do you think? Mm-hmm. How do you like it? How do you accept it? And, you know, we shouldn't have to be in a place where we need validation from anyone. But, you know, when you're a creative who is expressing themselves for other people's entertainment, that's kind of what comes with it.
It comes with the territory. Mm-hmm. That is so true. I mean, it really does speak volumes. And also just how this naturally landed for you, mm-hmm. being in the fashion world, mm-hmm. and then adding the wellness component, mm-hmm. the stress relief, right. mindfulness component to it. Right. I mean, it really does work hand in hand.
It does.
And I think as you continue to become more of that one, that whole person, mm-hmm. right, who's incorporating all of what makes you, you,
exactly.
through your gifts,
yes.
and how you are showing up for people,
yeah.
for the artists and creative world,
right.
that you're styling,
right.
It's going to just become more and more of a natural thing.
Exactly. And you know what? And that's the thing, now that I'm in that space and I understand what the assignment is.
Right.
Now that I know what the assignment is, I'm like,
right.
okay, now I can find the joy in it,
yes.
and do it on my own terms,
mm.
and just look at, you know, approach the way I work with clients and my own way and create projects like that are my passion projects that I love. Like Joe is here. I know he's behind the cameras and stuff and working the magic, but, you know, working with him, like us creating things and expressing ourselves and things that we love, it's like being in a good space with people, finding
yes.
good creative people to create with.
Definitely.
So it's like it brings that love of what you do, and it's not taken away from it. Because that was the thing, that it was the love was being taken out of it, because there was so much chaos around it, of, you know, so it was just like the love was leaving. So I had to find another way to, you know, incorporate some peace.
Right. And also who you are, right?
Yes.
Because it's a little bit of when we talk about the journey of how we start, and then we get to know more and more of what we like,
mm-hmm.
who we are, mm-hmm. what speaks to us,
right?
Right? And what do you want to become? And when I say become, you know, it's always been who we are deep down inside.
Yes.
But we're kind of peeling those layers.
Yes.
We're going beneath the surface,
right.
now, and we're getting to our higher self.
Right.
And so I think it's beautiful, mm-hmm. how you've been doing this. And let's talk a little bit about the styling world, because
okay.
now, like, you know, this is the journey.
Yeah.
How did you break into the styling world and fashion?
So how I got into fashion, one, I've always loved fashion. I've always been, me and my mother used to sit and watch TV growing up. She loved Dynasty, Falcon Crest, Knox Landing. I'm aging myself because I'm an 80s baby. And most people are like, what the heck is that? But yeah, those were like the high fashion shows. Like they were nighttime soap operas,
mm-hmm.
but they had like the greatest fashion. So every night or like whatever, I can't remember the nights that these shows used to come on, we would watch and we would look at the fashion and mm-hmm. Alexis Kobe and Diane Carroll and how fabulous they were. And I used to look at the TV like, oh my God, like I love this. And then I remember saying, oh, I want to be able to, I didn't know what it was called, but I said, I want to dress people for TV.
Mm-hmm.
Never knew what it was called. I just mm-hmm. knew I want to do that. And I wanted to be a designer. I wanted to design clothes, but then I realized, okay, you're one of those people who don't stick to tasks. Mm-hmm. So, like, you'll have a bunch of incomplete dresses laying around the house. Mm-hmm. Like, then you can't sew and you can't draw. So, maybe let's find something else. But I know I used to always walk down the street and I would literally edit what people were wearing. Wow. And say, like, okay, like a copy and paste, like, in my head. And I would critique and I'm like, wow. And so I remember one time watching the movie Belly. And when it was going, I think it was going off or was coming on, it said wardrobe stylist June Ambrose. And I'm like, oh, so that's what that's called? Like to dress people for movies and TV and stuff like that. So from then I was like, I want to be a wardrobe stylist. Even though I was going to, you know, high school to be for law, but I was like, I want to be a wardrobe stylist. So that's how it got in my head. And then my sister worked in the industry for years, and so she was always, you know, she said, if you want to do, like, you want to do something, come on set with me or whatever, and talk to the stylist. And so I spoke to the stylist, and her name was Maxine Garcia, and she was in this, which was, see how the universe works, she was the assistant to June Ambrose. Like, look how you put it out there into the universe, and then that happens. And it was her and Roger McKenzie, two stylists, and they were her assistants. And so I started assisting Maxine a little, and so she stopped styling, and I kept going and started creating little things for myself and just creating shoots and stuff like that. And then I remember a makeup artist friend of mine. This time I'm working at AT&T doing customer service. Living behind a cubicle, dying in a cubicle. Yeah. And she said, would you like to style? She said, you said you're a stylist, right? And I said, yeah, whatever. You know how to do it. You don't like to put clothes together. Like, so that's how I'm going. And she said, well, I'm going with my photographer friend and we're going to do a shoot. And I said, okay. So I went to Macy's, bought all these clothes and started doing stuff. Because, you know, I didn't know how, like, really just, like, go to showrooms, pull clothes, get relationships with designers. Like, I didn't know that part. So it was just, like, from there, and we just kept shooting with her and we creating the pictures. Mm-hmm. It just got that thing in me. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let's keep doing. So I started just networking and reaching out to people. And it's just, like, slowly, like, going on Model Mayhem, applying for stylish jobs and taking my book to a photographer named Alexi. And he looked at my, because, you know, when you create your first stuff, you think, this is amazing. Wait till they see this. Like, just think it's so great.
Yeah.
And he looked at my book. He said, it's okay, but, you know, I guess I'll give you a try. And I was like, what does he mean? It's okay. In my head, it's amazing. So I'm like, okay. So he gives me a try, and it was for Hype Hair magazine. And then, like, from that, the rest was history because I worked for them for years, over 10 years, became the fashion editor, and then headed up another one of their magazines, Today's Black Women. And then just from there, just like, it just skyrocketed, like things that I would never have imagined. But I will say this, a lot of what I wanted, I manifested. So I'm not going to take that away and just, you know, because I met a woman and she was telling me about manifestations and law of attraction, and I had no idea what she was talking about. I had just lost my full-time job, and I'm in the shoe store pulling shoes for a shoot, and I'm crying to her, and she's looking at me like, ooh, like, oh, that, you're a lot of energy. She's in here crying, so I know I got to. So she was like, read this book. It was Money and the Law of Attraction by Abraham Esther Hicks, and that literally changed my life. Like, I started reading it and then journaling and writing down everything that I wanted. I wrote it down and it manifests. So
wow, amazing.
That's my long but short.
No, but it's so crucial to who you are, right? To know where you come from. What are the roots?
Right.
What planted the seed to get here? Because it's all the evolution. What would you say is your proudest, like, styling moment?
I have a few proud styling moments because it's like every time when you get one moment and you're like, oh my God, this is it. Then yeah. Something bigger happens.
Right.
So like the one that I thought was like my biggest one, the first one, was when I got a chance to style for Hearst Digital Media. And so like as a stylist, that is like the, you know, you want to be a part of Hearst. You want to, the Glamour and the Cosmo magazine. So for them to pull you into to style a how-to or like whatever they were styling and had me in there for. I was like in the Hearst building looking out the window and it was just like, wow, I cannot believe I'm here. Because I wrote that in my book. I have wrote down, I want to work for Hearst Media. I want to work for Condé Nast. I want to do this. And this was, you know, years prior. And to be sitting in the building looking out the window was just like,
wow,
this is real.
It was a real moment.
And then the next one that was really, that I really, that was a proud moment was when I styled the Little Kim's 9 album cover and it went viral.
Wow.
And it was like, whoa. Like, you know, from the morning that it popped up, one of my friends sent it to me and I was like, oh, it's out. And it's just like, that was an amazing moment. But then it was also the most proudest moment, but the most vulnerable moment. Because not only that's your work that you believe in and you think is beautiful, but it's going viral and now all these eyes are looking at it. And so it brings you back to that vulnerable place of the critiques. So it's like, oh God, is everyone gonna like it? Is everybody? So it gets in your head like, oh God, oh God, oh God. So it's not, it's like, it's very, it's scary, but it was great. But it was a very scary moment because it's like, okay, now you're out there. You can't go back. Right. You can't retract it. So it's done.
Right. And you have to take those things with like the grain of salt, right? You can't just believe everything you read. Right. You have to be able to believe what work you're putting out.
Exactly.
And allow that to be your strength and stand tall in that.
Right.
Wow, that's amazing. And tell us about how you came to that moment where you said, you know what, I want to start getting into wellness and being a mindfulness coach. Mm-hmm. How did that come about for you to go from the styling? And I know we talked a little bit about it, but what was that moment for you where you said, this is the way that I segue into this?
Right. So that it came in layers because it was like the way it came about was like I had a shift, a spiritual shift and a spiritual journey that I had to find because it was me working on me first and then it was like other people need to know. So taking it a little bit further back, I've always dealt with, from a child, I've always dealt with depression. But of course you don't know what it is and anxiety. Most of my listeners or like most people that follow me know that I was an abused child. You know, we was physically abused, mentally abused, just a lot. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot going on in that household. Mm-hmm. So it was very depressing. And from the outside, it looked amazing. You know, we had everything, you know, beautiful home, clothes, money, everything. But it was a nightmare in that household. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you hide that. And so, like, as a child, not trying to navigate with the secrets and then dealing with bullying because I was always overweight. Mm. And so I was, you know, a cutter. Mm. And I was depressed. And I used to have suicidal thoughts. And my first suicide attempt was 14 years old. Mm. And so just dealing with those things and that whole mental just everything and then all the stuff that went on in life and working in fashion and then you're in an industry that's like so venomous at times and then you're also following your dream, which a lot of times following your dream does not afford you the finances to keep you know afloat. So with that depression and all of that, it was always the suicidal thoughts and all the other craziness and the depression and anxiety and just like a number of things. And then I just had to find, I found meditation to deal with that. Mm. And when I found meditation and started doing that and realized how helpful it was with relieving my stress and relieving, you know, my anxiety, where when I went to therapy and they said, oh, well, I think, well, you sound like you're manic depressant and you need to be on these pills. And I'm like, I don't want to get on pills. Like, you know, I think this is manageable. Like, if, and so really working on myself spiritually and reading and doing my meditations and stuff like that made me, and just realizing that I could choose happiness or like, and choose my path and not let this consume me, it really made me, you know, really make a shift in my life. Cause it was just like, I was like that last moment up at the, back up against the wall. And I was just like sitting, I remember sitting in my bedroom on the floor and I was just like, universe, what the hell? Like, what's going on? Like, I can't take this no more. So it was either show me a sign, give me an answer, or I'm checking out of here. Like, cause I'm not doing this no more. And it was just like in that moment where it was just the shift of just like breathe and just meditate and just do what you need to do. And when I realized how much that helped me, it made, you know, when you're in your, on your spiritual journey, I'm sure you know, you become very sensitive to things. So being in a, this industry and around certain people and certain energies, it was torture being around people. So it was just like, wow, like, I can't deal with this. And so that's what made me start pulling back, because I'm like, not only is it not good for my mental health, it's not good for my energetic health. But then I started realizing, as talking to friends and stuff like that, that it was creatives, they were going through the same things and no one had anyone to talk to. And everyone was like, okay, we're going through this, or we're saying, wow, I didn't know you was going through that, and this, that, and the third. And so all these different things that's happening with, you know, other people in this industry, other creatives, I was like, well, I started talking to friends like that was going through, like, well, try this, read this book, and I'm just sending you all this stuff, and, you know, do meditation, it saved my life. So then it was like, okay, you know what, instead of just your little, your close-knit family and friends, spread the word.
Right.
You know this, you know, and I realized our gifts aren't for us. They're for everyone else. They're our gifts are their presence. And I had to realize, like, this is not just for you. The universe brought you into awakening and a knowing to share this with people. So if you can save someone else's life or, you know, help them relieve something, then you need to get out there and do it. Like, this is so out of my comfort zone. Like, I don't like talking to people. Like, I'm a talkative person when you get to know me. But I hate talking to people, especially with coaching people through meditation. Now I have to touch you and like do all these things. And I'm like very uncomfortable with things like that, but it needs to be done. So it's just like stepping into it and going, just putting myself out there and doing it. It was needed. So that's what made me transition into doing it for other people and going into the wellness and seeing the benefits that it did for me and saying, okay, you know what? This can help you too. That can help you, and just know, just being more in tune with myself and other people.
Thank you for being vulnerable, by the way, and sharing and going deep into that. And I mean, it speaks volumes, because this is your story, right? And that's what I want our listeners to hear, is like your story, and hope that it can inspire in somebody to want better for themselves, right? And not stay in that dark place.
Because that dark place is, it's a killer. And you could easily get there. It's just, this is another thing that I want to explain, because I know sometimes people don't understand mental illness, or they don't understand depression or things like that. Or when you have certain thoughts, they don't understand it, because, you know, so what does that sound like? What does that look like? So, like, if you have, you know, and that's for anyone who's listening, you know, just in case if you're kind of like, oh, well, what does suicide, because, like, especially this in the media these past couple of weeks, all these people are committing suicide. So it's like, if you're not acknowledging what that sounds like, it's a record that's playing in your head. It's a, it's like a recording in your head that's telling you, it's your own voice saying, you ain't got nothing else to live for, like, you might as well just end it. Like, no one cares. Who are you going to call? Like, no one cares. Just end it. Like, how long are you going to go through this? Like, this is what goes and plays in your head. It's like a record that's going on. And it's like, and you're in that moment like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, I can't deal. So it's like, if you're getting those type of thoughts, that's not a good place to be in. So it's like, reach out to somebody. Talk to somebody. You know, drag yourself out of that dark space, because I've been in that dark space a lot, and you know, through the grace of God, I've been able to drag myself out of it. Or now that I have the tools of meditation, I know, okay, this is not real, because I still get it, you know, and through, I just know, say, okay, this is not real. These are thoughts. The next moment can change this. So sit down, breathe, and get it together. Light a candle, or if you're around people who are triggering it, get away from them, because people are triggers. So know your environment. Know, you know, what your triggers are, what's going on. And when you're in that dark space, make sure you could just acknowledge it quickly and get out of it. But know that that is not the truth. That moment is not forever. That's just it's not. It's going to pass.
Right. It doesn't represent your entire life.
It doesn't.
It's just, it's obviously that one moment.
That one moment.
And it, and you're absolutely right. It could come back. And I'm glad you said your environment.
Yeah.
Because people sometimes will just think, okay, well, I can change my thoughts and that'll be it. But no, let's take a look at what's triggering you.
Right, right.
And it could be an environment. It could be a job. It could be a coworker. It could be your family member.
Oh, yes. I have so many triggers around me. It was home was a trigger. Work was a trigger. Coworker was a trigger. The supervisor. Ugh. I always had to meditate. There was so many triggers. Like, I had to meditate going in and meditate leaving. It's just like, whoa. And then, like, family members are definitely the biggest triggers. And, like if you're in a relationship, your kids could be triggers. Like, send them to their room, like you're a trigger.
For real. No, but this is the reality. And everyone, for everyone, it's different, right? So we encourage you to take a look at that. Take in just a list, do a checklist of who really irks my soul.
Right.
Who gets under my skin right now?
Right.
And what can I do to either minimize my contact with them, or if I got to cut them off completely, like,
that is,
I'm so sorry. This, thank you for everything that you've been in my life, but I got to move on, and I have to have me first.
Right. And that's the thing too. I think a lot of times we hold on to nostalgia of relationships and friendships, and we don't realize how much is cutting us, how toxic it is. And it's like, it's okay to cut people off. It's okay to cut friends off. It's okay to cut family off. It's okay to cut whoever you need to cut out of your life for your well-being, because that is the main thing. And I was one of the things too, like in the beginning of my journey of meditating, because I would do work on stuff and thinking about, oh, I want to manifest this, I want to manifest that, I want to do this, I want to do that, and it was happening. But then I had to realize, you're still unhappy. You're getting all the success. Like, I would be traveling with a celebrity, and we're at the best parties, and we fancy cars and rooftops and taking planes and stuff like that, and come home and literally sit there and cry because I'm just so unhappy, and I can't even pinpoint why I'm unhappy, but I just know I'm dying inside. And it's just like, the things don't bring you the happiness, all the success don't, like, so much stuff, like amazing things, and I'm coming home crying. I'm sitting on the bus. I remember one day I was sitting on the train and I was just bawling, and this lady had to hand me a tissue, and I'm just like, I'm so sad. Like, you would look on the outside, like, girl, you should be happy. You're doing this, you're doing that. You're with this person, with that person, making this money, making that money. No, I'm not happy. So it's like, I started meditating and asking the universe for peace of mind. Can I have peace of mind? Because that's a request that you got to put out there. If your mind is not peaceful, it's a wrap. Everything else is done. You have to have a peaceful mind. You have to have happiness. And I would meditate every day on peace of mind, inner peace, happiness, just peace. I just want to be calm. That's it. That was it. And then once I got that out of the way and I brought that, that's when everything took off. And then my next thing was, I just want to be a good human being. I want, when anytime I interact with someone, they feel good. That, you know, they're not, when I walk out the room, they're like, ooh, she just drained me. Like, I didn't want to put that out into the universe either. I wanted to be a better person. So I started working on my friendships, started working on, you know, and having those difficult conversations with people when it's time to cut them off. Like, you gotta go. Like, this is not serving neither one of us. Or, right. you know, if you could talk to a person and tell them, well, this is triggering you and this is what's messing with me. And if they can't make those adjustments, then leave it alone.
Right. Thank you for sharing all of this. Mm-hmm. And thinking about the listeners right now, what is like a tool or one way that we could like provide some relief, you know, to that stress that they might be feeling? You know, let's say someone right now who's listening to this episode and they're like, I need something, right?
It sounds so simple, but literally taking a deep breath, breathing, really. Like, sometimes you really just need to just sit and just breathe. Like, even if you're at work and you got to go into the closet or go into the bathroom, because I used to do it. I used to go into the bathroom and just stand in the stall and just like, sometimes you just really need to take a deep breath, or like go online and find you like a little 5-minute meditation or something, anything that will take that edge off, just so you can move past that moment, because that's really all you need to do is move past that moment. But really a deep breath, breathing, just like a deep breath in and a deep breath out, just that would really, it will bring you into a space of like, you know, to think. It'd like, okay, I took a moment and I paused, because basically you just need to pause. That's because you're going, your mind is going, it's going. You need a pause. Because when you get a pause and you can do, and you breathe, the universe can throw little tools in there to you, like, okay, this is going to be okay. Like, you know, it's all right. Like, what's the next option? Like, the answers will start to come. Like, when you just take that moment to pause and just breathe it out, it's like, I know it sounds like very woo-woo, whatever, but it's true, because it's happened to me, and I deal with very high anxiety, and sometimes I just need to breathe it out. Sometimes you just need to cry it out, because I've breathed and started breathing, then just start crying. I'm like, the heck? But sometimes you really just need to take a moment and breathe, or find some good music. I love Willow Smith. She has a meditation album is Rise. I listen to it religiously every morning during my meditation. I listen to that. Sometimes just listening to like something soothing and just breathing, because I know sometimes people have different lives, have hectic lives, they don't have time. You always got time to take a breath.
Right. Definitely. And talking about the future now, right? What's on the horizon? How do you see both worlds of, or everything that represents Chaitanya? How do we see that flourishing in the future?
What I want to do, my mission is to really get this, really get it out there that we need to meditate, that we need to breathe, really get our mental health in, even if it's not meditation, right. It's just getting your mental health in order, getting, you know, finding the resources, getting tested, go talk to people. Like, my mission is to really push the agenda of mental health, mental wellness, under getting the knowledge and the understanding of what mental health is, what mental illness is, like really getting that out there, like driving that home. And when it comes to fashion, like just helping people, but from the inside out. Like, I'm not putting no outfits on you until we know that you are whole. Like, don't come to me broken with all these things and sending me pictures of, I want to look like this person, I want to look like that person. No, we're not doing that. What do you look like? Like, we need to work on that. Like, if you're coming broken and you're coming with all these things, I'm not interested. So, and I've turned down clients before. Like, I will turn you down. Like, I don't think this is a good fit. Like, that's all I want. I want to work. I want to push that. And going forward, what I see is meditation studios and private sessions, helping people breathe, helping people meditate and things like that. That's why I'm, you know, getting my next certification, because I really want to travel and really get this thing moving. Like, we need, I think I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we was talking about what can we do in this world to, like, are we at a loss? Like, is this world just, because it's such a mess right now, like, should we give up? Like, what do you know, what do you do? And right. I said, how we can help the world is everyone needs to be better human beings. And by being better human beings, it's like strengthening your spiritual connection, teaching our children from young how to breathe, how to meditate, how to be better human beings. Because if the majority of us are pushing love and pushing positivity, that will take the numbers down right. of the violence, of the hate, of the this, the sickness and the illness. Like, we should heal from the inside and start just, like, even if we don't see it in our generation, our kids' generation, our grandchildren's generation, if we start working from here, like right. getting our kids meditating, working on the mental health, having these conversations and within the family about therapy and about, you know, just a healing mm-hmm. overall, we can help.
Mm-hmm. I love everything you're saying. Can I just mm-hmm. say, I feel like my soul is being hugged right now.
Oh, thank you.
And my last question, and this has all been amazing and such a pleasure to, like, listen and hear you speak. What would you tell your younger self if you could go back in time? What was, like, the main thing that you wish someone could have just told you? Or maybe it could have been, like, you didn't want somebody to tell you something because that's how you became who you are. Mm-hmm. But if you could go back in time, what would you say?
If I could go back, I would talk to 4-year-old Shatanya, and I would say, it gets better. And then I would talk to 8-year-old Shatanya and say, what's going on around you has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. It's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be okay. You are beautiful. You are enough. And this too shall pass. It's going to get better. And that's what I would have told her and drilled into her, like, it's going to get better. And none of this has anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's beautiful. And if you could tell something to the listeners, just to sum up everything that represents you and the message that you're bringing out here, what would you tell the listener?
I would tell them to start within. Start within. Work on yourself, ask for inner peace, ask for joy, work on yourself, take time for yourself. Self-care is everything. You can't give if you have nothing to give. If your cup is empty, you can't give anything. So you have to fill that cup up so it can spill over. Then that's how you can help. But definitely work on yourself, work on your happiness. Focus. People love to call people selfish, but no. Be selfish. You have to be selfish and choose you. Choose still time for yourself. Don't even give all your time to your job. Don't give all your time to your spouse. Don't give all your time to your kids. Still time for you. Just work on you. You know, get some type of routine going, a morning routine. Even if it's just, okay, I'm going to wake up in the morning. I'm always going to have my tea or my coffee, and then I'm going to breathe for 5 minutes. Do something that pours into you and just focus on that. Like, just focus on you and your happiness, because at the end of the day, that's all you have. Nothing else matters but you in this life. So you have to focus on you, your healing, invest in yourself. And like, if you need to go to a retreat, if you need to go get a massage, if you need to get a manicure, pedicure, treat yourself. Because why keep working and never do anything for yourself? Or go to the 99-cent store, get yourself a file, and do your toes. Like, mm-hmm. enjoy mm-hmm. yourself. And mm-hmm. that's it. Pour into yourself.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Shatanya, this was amazing. And I just wanted our listeners to hear from you as if you were speaking to them in front of them, right? In this room,
yes.
Whether they're in the kitchen, in the living room, wherever they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to get that positive message that they need to take away from this episode. And I thank you for your vulnerability once again.
Oh, of course.
And sharing your journey. And yeah, that concludes our episode. So let's tell folks how they can connect with you and how can they tap into what you're doing.
You can find me at Shatanya Ami on Instagram. That's Shatanya, Shatonia, Ami, Amee. So all across all social media, it's the same. So Twitter, okay. TikTok, whatever, it's all the same. And then you can listen to my podcast, A Pursuit to Happiness, because I also have my podcast. And that's where you'll hear me talking about more things and giving you more encouragement and more, you know, more things about meditation and different types of yogas and stuff like that. So A Pursuit to Happiness, you can find it on iHeartRadio, Apple Music. It's on all platforms. So. Okay.
And I will tell the listeners, yes, she is a fashion expert stylist because she's looking cute, right? Oh, so every time I see you, you're always looking cute with your outfit. So I was like, at least she didn't like kick me out of this this episode. I gotta make sure I look good for her, yes. You know, so I can get a brownie point or something. Yes, I don't know.
You always look beautiful.
But I appreciate you so much. You. And I look forward to seeing you flourish.
Yay.
And thank you to our listeners for listening. And I look forward to having you back on the show.